At the end of the spring, I took my nieces to DC for the day, and we visited the Arboretum. As we walked through each area and garden, the smells, the temperature, and the humidity were almost overwhelming in their intensity, not to mention the beauty and the variety that our eyes were taking in. This morning, I wanted to turn the sanctuary into an arboretum, to give you that kind of immersion experience. But since I can't take the roof off the sanctuary, we will have to live into our memories and our imaginations this morning. As we think of gazing into the sky, or feeling the wind brush across our cheeks. I want to take us on a walk over mountains and through forests and deserts. I want us to feel the power and the spray of a pounding waterfall or a majestic ocean. To drink in the intoxicating perfume of spring flowers, to notice the rich textures of our land, hollows, rivers, tree-covered mountains, and rolling hills. Reach into your memory and find the places that you love. Where is the wildest place that you have ever been? The most remote, the furthest from the developed and built-up world. My memory goes to hugging redwood trees or trying to climb a kauri tree, which is the tallest tree in Australia. I remember standing on tons of ice on a glacier in New Zealand, floating in ocean as the waves carry my body, and camping where light pollution and cell service can't reach us. When have you felt most in touch with nature? What did it feel like? I want you to close your eyes for a minute and hold that memory. Open your eyes and your senses to sharp mountain rocks, the extravagant and wasteful beauty of sunrise and sunset, to rushing water, to the silence of solitary places, to moist moss and the smell of an evergreen forest, to fear and shock of weather we cannot control, to bird calls and the smell of rain, to deep jungle green, to the salt of ocean spray and smooth coastal stones, to arid boulders and sand, to the smell of honeysuckle in early summer and fresh mowed grass, to lying on your back as the dew gathers and watching the light extravaganza of fireflies dancing against the stars, to crisp leaves, to the crunch of snow and the bite of cold on your skin, and all that is held in God's good creation. I imagine God had joy in creating all of this. God wasn't showing it off or making it to impress someone or something. God just created. And God is still creating. Creation was not a once and done and over kind of thing. God is sovereign over all that is created. Do we feel the grass under our feet or see the trees and the plants around us? Do we drive by the mountains and not even see them anymore? How much time do we spend outside? Or are we inside for most of the day in climate-controlled buildings? We walk on gravel, cement, and bricks. Are we mindful of the earth, grass, sand between your toes? God, open our eyes to see, our ears to really hear, our noses to smell and to take in air, our awareness of touch. We dull our senses so that we don't go into overload. But let's wake up to the natural, created world around us. Isaiah offers that the touch of God is like water renewing a parched land. May we accept the invitation to see, know, consider, and understand that God's hand has created. When I say sing, she would name it as she saw it. There's a tree and some rocks, and I stepped on an ant, and there are clouds in the sky. As I hear this song, I hear her little voice, yet around her a whole heavenly and earthly choir raises their voices as well. And this is a song of praise. It is a roll call of every living thing that is, all that was known of the world. From the highest heavens and celestial beings to the darkest, murkiest depths of the ocean, humans are there, but just part of the list of created creatures. I hear from so many people that they go into nature to meet with God and to feel close to God. We enter nature and we feel touched with awe, wonder, and mystery of our Creator and Sustainer. And here, all of creation is called to praise the one who has made them. We hear this list, and I am touched both by the beauty and the bigness of God. In the midst of all of this, I want us to consider for a moment grass. What is the purpose of grass? It covers the earth, holds in moisture, secures topsoil. Each
small blade, soft and tender beneath your feet, or crunchy in the dry times of August or September. Ranging in colors from a vibrant green of new growth and then deepening into a dark, rich green, a flaky edge appearing as the grass fades to tans and browns as the moisture drains from its roots. And oh, its roots! These things that we don't see unless you are trying to rid a garden bed of grass. Small tendrils and webs, these lacy roots intertwining, longer and fatter roots that seem to go on forever, especially with crabgrass. So strong and yet so fragile when you yank at them. Grass. This thing that is so common and yet complex. Underfoot and everywhere, yet created by God and praising God. We could dive into this complexity with each part of creation. Throughout the Bible, we hear of people going up to mountaintops or away into the desert or wilderness to hear from and to feel close to God. Where is it that God reveals God's self to you? Do we join with nature as it praises God? Part of how we see the physical earth praising its maker is in being the very thing that God has created it to be. Not to be the best or to compete, but to shine, stand tall, be fixed forever, storm, leave a slimy path behind it, blow, be grass underfoot, all of these praise, exalt, and give glory to God. This litany of praise by creation invites us to think about who God is. So creative, incredibly detail-oriented, not always practical, wildly imaginative. God as a gardener, planting and tending. God as an architect, dreaming, designing, and crafting. God as a builder, taking sand, rock, water, flesh, and getting into it, getting hands dirty, and getting the work done. If we know this Creator God, why do we worry? This is a God who takes time to care for the smallest things underfoot, and yet cares for craters and the burning ball that is our sun. Each complex and unique. If we stand before this God in praise, can some of our worry melt away as this praise takes its place? God sees the beauty in each of us, our needs and concerns. When our lives feel small in this large world, know that our Creator God holds us close. And for this, we praise.
We cannot speak of the glorious wonders of the earth without seeing its destruction and hearing earth cry out in pain. We seem ready to pollute rather than preserve, to abuse the atmosphere rather than believe that the air is indeed the breath of God for us. We see the sorrow of land raped, plundered, and cry for the extinction of animals as our biodiversity lessons. I remember standing on a mountaintop and looking down over a valley where bushfires had gone through the year before. The trees had burnt, but still stood like a tree graveyard, ashen white, lifeless reminders of the flames. Yet this Colossians text is another hymn. We are held together in Christ, created through him. In him, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Through Jesus' reconciling work, making peace, everything lives in Christ. Jesus is the starting line, the finish line, and the glue that holds it all together. He is the brains of this show. If Jesus knows and is known by creation this intimately, how must Jesus ache and mourn for our planet? Have we become alienated from the earth, viewing the planet as disposable? Have we turned our greed into global warming and loved progress more than the planet that sustains us? In so doing, have we cut ourselves off from the Creator and Christ the Reconciler? Christ brings heaven and earth together, making cosmic harmony. Have we created dissonant, distracting, and destructive chords? No, not completely, because Jesus is doing this reconciling work in and through us. Ralph P. Martin writes that Christ is the image of the invisible. He is not a copy or likeness of God, but the projection of God on the canvas of our humanity and the embodiment of the divine in the world. Jesus is the agent in bringing the universe into harmony with the divine purpose, expressed as reconciliation. God did not create and then abandon us. Even though humanity has done its best to push God away, God continues to show up, offering us relationship and reconciliation, hope, and a new work of restoration together as God's people in the church. Longing for that work of reconciliation and restoration, I close with excerpts from a poem by Robert O'Rourke. My people took solace in wind whispers, coyote songs, the silence of rocks and high-soaring eagles. Today, I return to the place where my ancestors gathered medicine and herbs. I stop to listen for the old melodies, running softly through the trees for the beating heart of Mother Earth, the rhythm of sparkling waters. The sonorous sounds are no more. What remains are lamentations of blasted boulders, clanking of chainsaws, crashing trees, rocks crumbling into dust. My spirit yearns for the long ago lost harmonies, the musing of insects, rustle of leaves, the voice of a hawk. Stooping down, I choose one tormented rock, holding it gently towards the sky. Together we pray to the God of all things for the return of earth's song, the murmur of grass, butterfly wings, and the gentle silence of rocks at peace.